So the reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 11. This is on page 1152 in the Blue Bibles. Now the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus is cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in everyone. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given, through the Spirit, a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And he gives them to each one, just as he determines. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we pray that you would speak to us really clearly this morning. Lord, I just pray that whatever you want us to know and understand better about you and how you work amongst us, that you would really deeply impart into our hearts, our minds, and our spirits as we listen to you, as we engage with you. Thank you, Father, this is your heart that you want to speak to us. We invite you to do so and say, have your way among us, we pray. Amen. So we've come to that series, a part of our series. We're looking at a Spirit-filled life. We've come to that part that particularly focuses on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. God is a generous God. He loves us. He loves us so much that he doesn't want us to try and do everything on our own. When we try and do everything on our own, we usually fail and sometimes we fall over and graze our knees. He wants us to lean into him. And he wants us to be dependent on him. And so that invitation comes. From him to us, will we let him come and fill us with the gifts that he wants to build up in us? We focused in the last couple of weeks on more individual things, the fruits of the Spirit, the work that he wants to do in us, however difficult it is sometimes when uncomfortably God wants to prune and to be fire that will burn out those things that are not of him. But it's not just that kind of painful process of change and transformation that the Holy Spirit does in us. He also wants to do this incredible building up. He wants us to be more than we are right now. More than we can be on our own. He wants more for us, and he also wants more through us. And the challenge for us is that quite often, I think this is partly a British mentality, we're quite happy as we are. And we're quite comfortable as we are. We usually, especially in Britain, we get quite comfortable. And actually, the Holy Spirit wants us to be in that place of desiring more. For ourselves personally, we want to know more of Jesus, more of God's love for us, more of God's plans and his purposes for us as individual people. But ultimately, as this passage teaches us really clearly, the purpose of God in making us more close to him is so that the church would be built up. Now, that doesn't mean God just wants more people with bums on seats. It doesn't mean God wants us to have bigger buildings and more programs and more outreach and more of this and more of that and more of the other. That's not what it's about. But the Holy Spirit works in each one of us. And as we allow him to do more in us, what happens is that we build up this community of love. Because God himself is love. And as we know more of his love, as we experience it, as we receive it, as we allow it to change us and to grow us as loving people, reflections of his image, reflections of who he is, then we will love one another better. And as we as Christians demonstrate what it means that the Holy Spirit fills us and we are the most loving people, what a challenge that would be to a world which is lacking in love. Jesus was countercultural. His way of loving people stood out. And he calls us as Christians to be the church, to be his bride, who is so filled with his Holy Spirit, so filled with his love, that we stand out. And that as we love one another, as we pray for one another, as we grow in Jesus, then the atmosphere of the whole world is impacted by that. And just like we talked about at the beginning of the service, every single person in this church, from the smallest baby to the oldest person, counts. The same is true for us in church systems. The network of churches, some are big churches, and we think, well, they're able to do so much in the world. Look at all the things, the groups that they run, the stuff that happens there. But it doesn't matter. In the heavenly kingdom, in the heavenly realms, the smallest church of three people can have a massive impact on the world. The biggest times of revival in this country happened when two old ladies in Scottish islands prayed fervently as God led them. And the Holy Spirit provoked this enormous revival across the whole of the UK from two old ladies praying. The Holy Spirit doesn't care how big our church is. He doesn't care how strong or how holy or how long we've been a Christian. If we have a desire for more of him, he will come and he will work in us, and through us he will build his church. I don't know about you, but I want more of that. I want more of the Holy Spirit in each and every one of us. Our desire for him, Paul says in this passage, and later on he says, eagerly desire the spiritual gifts. Why? So that we can become more the people as individuals, but also the community that God wants us to be, the church that God wants us to be. And so we are given this incredible gift, a gift beyond words, beyond explanation. God living inside of us. This is the greatest gift we can ever imagine or conceive. Not just for the growth of our own character, but for the building up of God's church. The Holy Spirit therefore puts gifts in each and every one of us. And this list in Corinthians is not exhaustive. This list in this passage we've read today is not the only list of spiritual gifts, and we're going to look at a few of them in here for today, and then next week Christy's going to look at a few more. But it's not exhaustive. The Holy Spirit works in so many ways. Some of them are things that are described in Scripture, and some of them we take by faith in the way that he works still today. He plants these seeds in us so that we and the church may grow and flourish and thrive. That doesn't mean that we will not face difficulties. We know, because New Hope has always had this. When we step into more of the Holy Spirit, we are stepping into spiritual battle. And when we step into spiritual things, when we step in and ask for more of the Holy Spirit, more things will come up against us. And so we have to rely on the Holy Spirit to fill us with love, to fill us with compassion, to fill us with the desire to be praying for each other, praying and listening. Because if we cannot listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying, then we will go off in our own way. We'll use the gifts that he's given us for the way that we think that they should be used. The Holy Spirit doesn't put gifts in us in order for us then to go off and do our own thing with them. The Holy Spirit puts gifts in us so that we listen to him and understand how he is wanting us to use them. They are not gifts for us to control. They are gifts for him to work in us and through us. We surrender to his control so that he can use them in us. All of the gifts are important. None of them are less important than any of the others. And yet, as we look at this list, there are often people who particularly, or ones that people particularly desire or particularly want. We need to remember, as we reflect on this for a little while, as we think about this in the whole series, that God says each and every gift, everything that he is doing, is important and valuable and precious. Each thing that different people bring that the Holy Spirit has gifted them with is important for the life of the church to function, to keep going, to be the church God wants it to be. And if we're not surrendered to the Holy Spirit and operating in the gifts that he's given us, then the church is incomplete. If we're not fully seeking him and saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to love this family that you've brought me to? Then we might be missing out on the things that God can only do through us. Each person and each gift they have matters. And the Holy Spirit doesn't just say, well, you can have one each. He's not stingy. God is a generous God. And he wants to pour out these gifts. We need to desire them. We need to ask him. We need to seek for more of them. Some of you will be very familiar with this already. Some of you will know what gifts God has given you. Others of you will be sitting there thinking, I don't have any. Not mentioning any names, Mary. You've got more than one, Mary. And they're not exhaustive. There are many more, but these are the ones that particularly we wanted to focus on today, to think about how God works through them to make us the church family he wants us to be. These are the gifts God calls us to desire, eagerly desire. First one I want to talk about this morning is wisdom. Now, this is not being clever. This is not passing exams. This is not being a rocket scientist. The wisdom of God is something different. Solomon in the Old Testament asked God for wisdom to rule the nation when he could have asked God for anything. And God knew at that point that his heart was in the right place. Not so much later on, but we'll get to that. And so God gave Solomon a spiritual gift of wisdom. He was renowned all over the world for making good judgments and leading his people well. He thought deeply about philosophical issues, writing the book Ecclesiastes. His poetry in the Song of Songs is recorded beautifully, but not in the lectionary for good reason. His wise leadership was written down and accounted for in the records of the kings, 1 and 2 Kings. But his mistake was growing to think that he himself was wise. And so over time, that wisdom gift that God had given him became something that did not lead him closer to God. The gift that God had given was a supernatural one, which required an ongoing relationship with God. It required him to keep listening, but he got to the point of thinking that it was about him and his wisdom. And this reminds us that if we are seeking God for the gift of wisdom, then we need to keep asking. It's not wisdom that he gives to us and then we go off on our own. It's wisdom that he continually gives to us for each situation, for each moment, for each part of time, for each circumstance in which we find ourselves. We go to God in prayer and listening for his wisdom, and he works that wisdom through us. The purpose of God today is to make the church wise. Some of us are very clever, and we need people who are good with numbers. Thank you, Jeremy. We need people who are good with words as they write prayers or write poems or write reflections. Thank you, Sheila. We need human wisdom. Those are wonderful blessings for our church, and God works through them. But the spiritual gift of wisdom is a supernatural gift. The Holy Spirit pours his wisdom for a given moment into someone in the church family who can then lovingly explain the right course of action or the best judgment in making choices or the ability to explain something in a way that makes it easy to understand. We as a church family are full of flawed people. We need God's wisdom. We live in a world that is broken, a world where things do not go according to plan. Even the most intelligent people cannot stop things going wrong or difficulties happening to them. Wisdom, in a human sense, is not enough on its own, but we need repeatedly to ask God to give us his wisdom for all of these things. It's not one of the gifts that people regularly ask for. I think perhaps because, like Solomon, we often mistakenly think we are wise enough on our own. I want to tell you, however clever you are not wise enough on your own. We need the Holy Spirit. His wisdom at work in us will build up the church family, will bring encouragement, wise choices, loving responses and action. And God's family will be built up through it. Tongues and the interpretation of tongues. This is a gift that people get excited about. Perhaps because it's very tangible. Perhaps because it's a bit glamorous. We must not make the same mistake as the Corinthians made. They thought that this gift was more important and more impressive than the others. It was seen if you didn't have the gift of tongues that somehow you were less blessed or less spiritual. We need to be really careful to adhere to what Jesus is saying to us through this letter to the Corinthians. Every gift is of equal value. The gift of tongues was given on the day of Pentecost, and it was one of the first gifts that the Holy Spirit gave. But it was purposeful on that day. Primarily, it was a tool for evangelism. The disciples in Jerusalem suddenly, miraculously, could speak all of these different languages in order that they would go out into the streets of Jerusalem, where there were Jews from all around the world, and they would be able to speak of who Jesus was and what he did in those people's native tongues. And that particular day was so powerful that 3,000 people believed in Jesus because of what the Holy Spirit did in giving the gift of tongues. The power of the Holy Spirit was also evident in their speaking. The power of God and the truth of God, both at work by the Holy Spirit, to bring people to faith and to build up the church. It was explosive stuff. The Holy Spirit was in charge, and the disciples were obediently listening to him and then speaking out. It was a partnership. They opened their mouths and the Holy Spirit spoke through them. This is wonderful. Who wouldn't want that gift? Who wouldn't want to be able to do these incredible, powerful, wonderful, very tangible and sometimes glamorous things? But it is the same Spirit and the same obedience and the same partnership that will be explosive in all of the gifts if we use them, if we allow the Holy Spirit to work them in us for the purpose of building up his church. Not many people still today have that experience of speaking clearly in another language and going out into the streets and finding that somebody on the street kind of goes, "Oh my goodness, you're speaking my native tongue and telling me about Jesus. I want to become a Christian." Anybody? Oh, I was really hoping somebody would. Yeah, but that's not tongues, Martina. You speak Spanish. It's a supernatural gift from the Holy Spirit to speak a language you do not understand. But yes, thank you. I'm glad you have political debates in Spanish. That's most impressive. Speak to Gabby later. Sometimes the gift of tongues is still given today in the church so that somebody can speak it out in a service, in a meeting or gathering. Again, it's the partnership of the Holy Spirit stirring something in our hearts and us opening our mouths and allowing him to speak through us. It involves listening. It involves being dependent on the Holy Spirit, not speaking a language that we understand for ourselves, but allowing him to speak through us in a language that is only from him. It will sound like nonsense to most people in that context, but it is given so that maybe one person in the crowd will still hear what's being said and understand it in their native tongue. Or it is given and spoken out so that somebody else in the church will have that same stirring of the Holy Spirit, the same sense of partnership in confidence to open their mouth, believing that God has given them the interpretation of that tongue. So we haven't had necessarily somebody who speaks that language, but somebody else in the church understands supernaturally what that mysterious language was and what God was saying through it. In this case, the Holy Spirit also gives the gift of interpretation so that there is understanding. Paul goes on to say that if the gift of tongues is used in church gatherings without interpretation, it is just gabbling. If it doesn't make intelligible sense, if it doesn't have some kind of meaning, then people are doing it from the wrong motivation. So it might be a genuine gift that the Holy Spirit has given. But if we're using it from the wrong motivation to make ourselves look good, then we are not doing it for the building up of the church. The Holy Spirit gives gifts in order that we would encourage, nurture, and love one another in our worship of God so that we all collectively love God and know him better. That is the purpose of the Holy Spirit's gifts in building up the church. Not for any one individual's self-importance or self-proclamation. If we have people who are able to operate in the gift of tongues during our worship times, we should also be asking God for the gift of interpretation. So if that is one of your gifts, if you feel like that is something that God stirs in you sometimes, then either ask him for the interpretation as well, or prayerfully seek God about who it is that he wants to give the interpretation to with each word that you give. I would love for people to be able to call out in tongues if that is your gifting, to sing out in tongues if that is your gifting. But I long even more for the gift of interpretation so that what God speaks out in other languages makes intelligible sense to all of us, so that we can be encouraged, nurtured, and built up together. The other way in which the gift of tongues is expressed is in personal prayer and in prayer ministry over individuals. In Romans chapter 8, Paul talks again about the kind of prayer where we cannot find words for ourselves. When either we've prayed and prayed with all of our own words, with all of our own wisdom, when we've just got to the end of that, and then we just give ourselves over, and then somehow the Holy Spirit speaks through us, uttering things beyond our comprehension, but that we kind of feel that we still have something to pray in us, but don't have the words anymore. Verse 26 says, "The Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans." Now that doesn't mean that we're just... But sometimes the gift of tongues is that wordless groaning, of our hearts being allowed to come out as we partner with the Holy Spirit. He puts things in us and we open our mouths and he speaks. And this kind of prayer can be powerful either for ourselves in the situations we're dealing with or as we pray for others. And sometimes when we're doing prayer ministry, we're really quick to jump in with what we think, with our human wisdom. And that's good. It's not wrong to do that. But we must listen for what the Holy Spirit is saying so that we know what he wants to pray over that person. And if you have the gift of tongues, sometimes it might be that praying in tongues will mean that the Holy Spirit prays, does the prayer ministry. How cool would it be if the Holy Spirit did prayer ministry over us? Then his words, his thing that he wants to pray, would be prayed over us. Again, sometimes it's good to ask for the interpretation of those things so that it makes intelligible sense for the person who's being prayed for. Sometimes in that context, it's just allowing the Holy Spirit to minister. When we are in too much pain ourselves, the turmoil is too much, the Holy Spirit expresses it for us. When we are praying for our brothers or sisters in a difficult time, the Holy Spirit praying for them through us, the things only he knows that they need, and only he can therefore pray for them. If you've ever been prayed for like this, or if you've ever prayed for it, then you will know that people have experienced it as a strange comfort. A number of times I've prayed that way for people who've never heard tongues before, and none of them have ever said, "That was horrible, don't do that again." But all of them have said it was really odd and really strange, but somehow comforting. This gift teaches us also to depend on him for words and wisdom, not relying on our own ability or eloquence. A true cry of God's heart is more powerful than any prayer we can put together, any worship we can express, however tongues is given, however it is used. It is God speaking through us, not for selfish motivation, but embracing the gift of tongues with humility and with respect and awe for Holy Spirit in us, speaking through us. The Holy Spirit also gives the gift of prophecy. This can take many forms. It can be words of knowledge. It can be pictures. It can be a word of scripture. It could be something completely unrelated. But what it is, again, is this dependence on the Holy Spirit, listening to him, paying attention to him, and then sharing whatever it is that he puts into our mind or into our heart with others for the common good, for the building up of his church. Paul says that this is the gift he most wants people to eagerly desire because it is the most edifying, because it is most effective in building up the church. Prophecy is the ability to hear God's voice, to hear his word for that moment, for these people, and the confidence to speak it out. Old Testament prophets were called to stand in the marketplaces, to speak up in the royal court, to shout and act in dramatic ways so that God's wayward people would hear the message that he was trying to give them and turn back to him. In the early church, it was a supernatural instruction of the true head of the church, Jesus himself. And he is still the leader of our church today. He is the bridegroom who wants to help us to be ready for him. And so he wants to speak to us all the time. And so the Holy Spirit comes with a gift of prophecy that each one of us will be able, in one way or another, some people particularly anointed, those anointed gifts where people have just, it's so full, the Holy Spirit has given a really powerful gift. But I believe that this gift of prophecy, just like Paul says, eagerly desire it. I believe every single believer has the chance to receive a small or a large gift of prophecy, the ability to hear God's voice. In some situations today, those with a gift of prophecy will find the Holy Spirit prompting them to go somewhere, to do something, to contact a certain person, or have a particular conversation that is not their own. They haven't thought it for themselves. They know that that is God's guidance. The Holy Spirit uses these prophetic gifts in us to put us in the right places, at the right times, with the right words and the right actions. Not because we thought it was a good idea, but because the Holy Spirit told us to do it and we were obedient. Now, most often in our church, we find that this gift is being used in prayer meetings, in prayer ministry. There are many people in our family here at New Hope who have this gift, anointed people with particular prophetic abilities. We use them when we pray for one another. There are freedom prayer appointments for people going through particularly difficult times, wanting to know God's freedom and release from particular struggles. There's DNA prayer if we're struggling to know who are we meant to be, what has God really called us to. And there's listening prayer where we just spend time waiting on God. We want to develop these prayer ministries. We want to develop more in the prophetic. We want to spend more time. And so Christy's board here is one way of doing that. There are lots of other ways. The prayer ministry that happens at the end of each service is a powerful way for God to use this prophetic gift amongst us, so that each and every one of us can be encouraged, nurtured, hear what God is saying, and grow and flourish and thrive. And we as a church would be more like Jesus, more like him, more loving. Paul encourages us to eagerly desire this gift because when we take time to listen to God, he will speak. But so often we're too busy. We don't give God enough time. We've got other pressures, other distractions. Some of them are legitimate. But if our eager desire is for more of the Holy Spirit, then that's a really good place to start. If you don't know what gifts God has given you, speak to somebody who will listen to God for you. Seek prayer ministry from those people we've identified as being able to pray and to listen and hear from God. Seek more. Now, one of the other things is that we don't need to be expert at this or any of the gifts. In the Old Testament, one of my favorite passages is the beginning chapters of Jeremiah. God takes Jeremiah on a training school of prophecy journey. He's a young man. He hasn't had a huge experience of God. But God just gives him a picture and says, what did you see? And then he gives him another picture and says, what do you think it means? And then he gives him another picture and the picture and the interpretation and so on. When we are seeking after a Holy Spirit gifting, particularly the prophetic, but all gifts, God plants a seed. The Holy Spirit comes and plants a seed. We don't have to be perfect straight away. God plants a seed of it in us. And if we will have the faith to believe that he has done that, and then just start with small things. Start with asking God for a picture and waiting for him to confirm that picture. Start with asking God for Bible verses. What scripture is going to be helpful for this person that I'm praying for at the moment? Listen, seek God. When he gives you a scripture, when he gives you a Bible verse, send it to that person or speak it out to them. In small ways, God will grow our confidence. God will do this because that is his desire. Sometimes we can also rush to share prophetic messages. Sometimes God wants us to hear what he's saying in order that we pray for that person, but don't share it. We need to be listening at all times. Prophetic gifting, like all gifting, is from God to be used in the way that God wants us to. So we need to listen. God did a training school with Jeremiah. But actually there are lots of training courses, lots of opportunities. If that is something that anybody would like to grow in, I encourage you to go on a training course. Attend one of those courses that will really help you to grow in that gift. Because this is the one that particularly Paul says we as a church need, but as most powerful for the encouragement, nurture and building up of one another. So whatever our experience or encounter with the Holy Spirit in the prophetic is, get alongside someone who's more experienced, more spiritually mature, learn from them, develop those gifts. And most importantly, for every single one of us, deepen our ability to hear God's voice so that we can be so familiar with it that we recognize him immediately when he starts to speak to us. And just a reminder from last week, we spoke that prophetic messages were never to be treated with contempt. We need to receive them and share them with an open heart and with a willingness to pray them through. When God speaks, sometimes the picture can come through and it's really, really apt and really, really perfect. And other times it doesn't quite seem to fit. But maybe later on it will fit. Or maybe there's something else, like Christy said earlier, a jigsaw piece, that this bit here needs the next bit to go together in order to make it make sense. With the prophetic, we need to be very attentive to God through it all, waiting on him for the full interpretation and the full meaning and guidance of what is being said. But we as a church can do so much more when we are led by the Holy Spirit in his direction and his instruction. And again, just like the gift of tongues, prophecy needs to be received with humility and surrendered to God so that the gift does not become more important to us than the giver. And finally, the discernment of spirits. This gift is so important because we are at war. The more we step into the Holy Spirit and his gifts for us as a church, the more the enemy that we have, that we are fighting against, Satan himself, will fight against us. He will seek to drive a wedge between us and the Heavenly Father, to drive a wedge between us and each other. His tactics are always to pull down, to destroy, to break apart that which God is trying to do. In building up his church, Satan will seek to pull us down. And so the Holy Spirit gives us one of the gifts in order to particularly combat this act of Satan to come against us. The supernatural insight of some of his children so that they can be able to see the spiritual battle going on around us. Those people are gifted with the sight that Elisha had when he saw the angel army surrounding the valley where he lived, which made him unafraid of the human army that was at his door. Acts 5 tells us how the Holy Spirit gifted Peter to be able to see that Ananias and Sapphira were lying about the gift that they had given to the church and were a corruption that, if it was left in the church, would cause further harm and damage. Still today, the church needs this gift. We need the Holy Spirit's discernment so that people who have this supernatural insight into the reality of the battle around us can lead us in the right kind of prayer, can lead us in the right way of engaging in the spiritual battle. We need those who can see where prayer is needed and if it is having the desired effect of transformation and wholeness of people and places and events. We need the Holy Spirit to strengthen this gift in those who have it so that they are stronger and we as a church are stronger in the fight against Satan, so that his words of discouragement and doubt are identified for what they are before they take root in our hearts. And so when we struggle, when we find that things are coming against us, we go to those people. We know who they are. God has identified them. And we ask them to discern for us, to pray with us. We get prophetic ministry so that we can hear what God is saying to us in that moment. And we seek the Holy Spirit, more of him, so that we can move forward through whatever struggles we are facing. We need all of these gifts and more. That's why the Holy Spirit desires to give them to us. He wants to plant these seeds in us, and seeds that will grow so that we as individuals are closer to him, stronger. There is more of the Holy Spirit in us. As we do that, the church family will also grow and thrive because it is filled with the Holy Spirit and his love. He wants to grow our faith and our ability to be his people. Let's not be ashamed. If God's given us a gift of tongues and he prompts us wherever we are, let's not be ashamed. If God's given us a gift of prophecy, let's not be frightened to share. Let's not be shy and let's not be arrogant. But let us all embrace what the Holy Spirit has already done in us, the gifts he's already given us. Let's nurture them. Let's ask him for more of them. And let's seek him for more of the gifts amongst ourselves, praying those gifts for one another so that the Holy Spirit himself can build us up as a church family. As we serve, as we love one another, as we grow in faith, as we perceive what God is doing, as we hear his voice, we will become the church he wants us to be, and not just the smaller version of the church we would like to be. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Joe. I just want to move now. I don't know if anybody else can really just sort of sense God speaking through that. And so I'd like us to move straight into a time of intercessions where Greg will come up and we'll just lead that into a time where we have a bit of time for reflection. As Joy said, we don't always